Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
A hugely attractive, smart, sharp, insurgent candidate for the Republican nomination for president toured Harlem yesterday, playing a little jazz in his honor. From what I heard, he may have the solution to the most urgent civil rights issue of the day, saving black lives. Before I get to Dr. Ben Carson, I also want to give you a heads up that I want to talk about Donald Trump backing most of what Planned Parenthood does, and I want to ask you whether you think that makes him more or less electable, at least among conservatives. You tell me. Love to hear from you on that one at 866-GERALDO. Also going to have the latest from Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. on the deadly Legionnaires outbreak. Noam, you were just reporting that you say there are more sites testing positive for this virus?
Three new sites. So we have three new sites, no individuals. So no individual New Yorkers. We don't have any cases of them coming down with Legionnaires. But three new sites that potentially have this in the either bacteria that was found in three
sites. It's a bacteria.
Yeah.
So that's so how do you catch it? People sneeze on you? Where did you get it?
You know, you asked an excellent question that I totally don't know the answer.
All right, look it up.
I'm going to tell you.
All right. So let me start with this latest CNN poll that came out yesterday afternoon after we went off the air, showing from Iowa, Donald Trump with a commanding lead there now, mostly driven by his support among white working class men, regular Joes, you know, making 50 grand or less, fed up with politics as usual. That's 22% he's polling now. That is impressive, showing as it does an 8% lead over his nearest competitor. There are three other candidates surging, though. You have Ohio Governor John Kasich, who I know very well, a man who worked alongside me at Fox News. We both had weekend shows for many years together. You have the businesswoman Carly Fiorina. And then you have the man that I want to talk about, the man who toured Harlem yesterday, the neurosurgeon, Dr. Ben Carson. He's the one I want to talk about right now. Dr. Carson, here in New York City yesterday, touring Harlem, he had the obligatory stop at Sylvia's, you know, the famed restaurant, been there many times. He also took the time to address the statistical truth about the real threat to young black men. Give you a hint, it's not old white cops, it's other young black men. Here is Dr. Ben Carson yesterday from Harlem.
Well, of course, Black Lives Matter. What I feel is that instead of people pointing fingers at each other and just creating strife, what we need to be talking about is how do we solve the problem in the black community of murder, essentially. You know, for a young black male in an inner city, homicide is the most likely cause of death. That is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous, to say the least. So how are we doing here in New York on that issue? Let me go to there, and then I'll broaden the discussion to Dr. Carson and his courage in addressing this issue. So we had, Noam, our 201st murder as of last Sunday. I don't know if we've had any in the last three, 4 days. I assume there's been one or two that I have not heard about. New York lags, you know, they're always a week or so behind in the statistics, but It's right around there. It's right, 201 murders last Sunday. That's, I guess, up a couple from the year before. But for a city of 8.4 million souls, that's not bad. And it's a far cry from my days when I first started in this business, when there were routinely 2,000 murders a year. So it would have been, by this time, halfway through the year, well over 1,000. Instead, you have 201 murders. So it's not the 70s. It's not the 80s. We have inner cities that are enduring violence. You have the civil war in the ghetto I've talked about before. But you also have a very highly effective NYPD managing this crisis. Bill Bratton is a brilliant police commissioner. Now, you compare our relatively peaceful town, though. We're the exception. Let's face it, we're the exception. And a lot of it has to do just with demographics. Compare our city, 8.4 million, to the predominantly African-American city of Baltimore. And, you know, having covered the riots there, I just can't get over what's going on there in Baltimore. You have just over 600,000 residents. You have just over 300,000 on the west side. You have a dysfunctional police department. And you have Baltimore has now suffered, get this, its 202nd homicide of 2015. 202. In other words, Baltimore is tied with New York. It's a city 1/114th. It's 1/114th the size of New York, and it's tied with New York in terms of homicides. So you have this continued bloodletting in Baltimore and other predominantly black cities. I noticed Camden, New Jersey, still right up there in the top five. So predominantly black cities, the length and breadth of this country, that's the grim reality. That should be the focus of the new civil rights movement. And the question I ask, and it is something that it frustrates me, I cannot begin to tell you how profound the impact is of this whole Black Lives Matter movement. And you see the rage of the youngsters, the college age and the teens and the others getting involved in this Black Lives Matter. But I come back to this central question. Do Black Lives Matter only when they're taken by white cops? So listen again to what Dr. Carson said. He said, we need to be talking about how we solve the problem in the black community of murder. That's what this brilliant neurosurgeon, this strong black man, said yesterday. How would he address this crisis? He would, he said, quote, instill values in people again so they do, in fact, believe that their brother's life matters. And he added that those values are family and faith, the principles that got black people through slavery, segregation, and Jim Crowism. This smart black man, I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you're thinking about Donald Trump or anybody else, Dr. Ben Carson, principled, strong, clear, and there is no doubt but that our nation could benefit from his wisdom. Does that mean I endorse him for president? Of course, I'm way, way shy of that monumental announcement. But I am extremely impressed. What I saw from his final statement, you see it in the debate.
That was great.
Dr. Ben Carson. I'm telling you, we've had him on the show before. We'll have him on the show again, maybe tomorrow. Certainly, we'll have him over on the show in the next few days. We'll have Donald Trump back and others. But Dr. Ben Carson, I'm telling you, this guy has got something going on. Here's David, our first caller, 866 Geraldo from Manhattan. What's up, David?
Yeah, I want to say something about Trump and Ben Carson. Hey, with Trump, Trump's family has me confused. He was raised Christian. His family were raised Christians. But his son converted to Judaism, the Jewish religion. His daughter converted to Judaism, the Jewish religion. And his three grandchildren are all Jewish. I mean, a few years ago, they were all Christians. Now they've decided to become Jews. I mean, it seems like this is suspicious because Israel has a lot of influence. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, we're here, David. But I think I heard that song before from you. You know, it's in terms of the Trump embrace of Judaism, you know, Ivanka married a Jewish guy, the guy that owns the Jared, Observer. What's his name? The Observer. I don't know about Don Jr.
I didn't hear that.
I hadn't heard that either. And Trump is a Christian. I mean, he has embraced positions that he did not previously hold. And I think the whole issue of abortion, which is going to be my next topic, Planned Parenthood and Trump defending Planned Parenthood, I think that's going to be a vivid and contentious part of this program as we move forward. But sticking to Dr. Ben Carson, I'm telling you, this guy deserves another look. He's not a token candidate. He's the real deal. He's the only candidate who has separated conjoined Siamese twins. He has removed half a brain from someone and kept them functioning and literate and intelligent. You know, the guy has real skills. I know that Dr. Rand Paul, also a doctor, but I think he's a back doctor, or a foot doctor. He's a podiatrist. Isn't that foot doctor?
Podiatrist, foot doctor, okay. Yeah. It's not the same thing.
Not the same
thing.
But I really...
Can give you orthotics. That's about as much as you can do.
Dave in New Jersey, what are you thinking about, Dave? Thanks for going to 866 Geraldo.
Hey, Geraldo, welcome back.
Okay, brother.
You know, I'm so glad that you opened up the show talking about Dr. Ben Carson. I tell you, Geraldo, if the election were held tomorrow and he were elected, I would vote for him in a heartbeat because he is a uniter. He knows what it takes to bring the country together. But what concerns me, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, is that unfortunately there has been a pretty good hatchet job done within our community against Republicans, against conservatives. And I'm just concerned that should he get elected by a vast majority of the country, will that stand in the black community? And I'm so glad you brought up this phony organization.
I would love to hear from other black... I know, Dave, that you are a black man. I would love to hear from other black men and tell me how you feel about Dr. Ben Carson. I'd like to hear specifically. I know that Dr. Carson got some gas on the streets yesterday, people tisking and saying they didn't appreciate some of his positions. And the whole Black Lives Matter thing, I am still baffled by why it is so narrowly wrought.
They are a phony organization. They are a bunch of race-hustling demagogues. And as you correctly pointed out, black lives only matter to them if a police officer is white and the suspect is black. Black lives don't matter when it comes to drive-by shootings, gang-banging, dope dealing. It's not convenient for them. It's easier to play the race card.
Okay, Dave, well said. Thank you. I appreciate it. Stan, buddy, Forest Hills, what's up?
How are you, my friend? Good. Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
The doctor does platitudes, Geraldo, and says, well, we have to stop killing, you know, this and that. You know, that's not... You made the point, I think, a couple of months ago, that the gangs, the Crips and the Bloods, which are nationwide and are organized, are in the black communities, selling drugs, having networks, and black-on-black crime is related heavily to drugs. You know it.
I agree. I think that everything you just said is true.
But they have to go after the gangs. There's going to be a war. Let it be the gangs. Go after them. And we don't go after them. You've stated it many times. It's the gangs.
I would use RICO a lot more. The conspiracy statutes they used to break up the gangs in California, the Mexican Mafia and some of the others. And thanks, Stan. And I think that there could be a lot more aggressive policing of those organizations. But when you saw that kid in Ferguson yesterday, you see that kid, the kid that got shot in critical condition, the 17-year-old, in the video clearly showing the kid had a gun shooting at the cops. I mean, that wasn't a gangbanger per se. That was a thug with a gun. I think that, as much as we would like to think that all of the black-on-black crime is because of the Crips and the Bloods, it's not true. It's just not true. There are too many guns in the community. I think drug dealing is a big part of it. I think that that shooting in Ferguson, Missouri had to do over a beef, over a stolen television that they wanted to, who got the money from selling the stolen, the looted television during the riot, the mini riot there on the anniversary of Michael Brown's death. But what I like, and this is my point about Dr. Carson, my frustration with President Obama, whom I have tremendous respect for, probably more than many of you listening right now. I fault him on his Mideast policy and his naivete in terms of the Arab world and some other things that I fault him on. But I think the biggest deficiency is the fact that he was fearful of embracing his blackness to make this issue, Black Lives Matter, a real national issue, a real civil rights issue, not narrowly directed against this relatively I mean, I don't mean in any way to minimize the fact that many black mothers fear cops as much as they fear crooks when their kids go out. I don't mean to minimize that at all. But statistically speaking, it pales in comparison to the real problem here, which is the ghetto civil war and the fact that our community is committing a kind of suicide. And Dr. Carson has addressed it forthrightly, and he did it of all places in Harlem, New York, USA. Welcome back. 27 minutes after 10 o'clock, you are listening to the legendary 77 WABC, back from holiday here, reunited with Noam Layden. Now your turn.
Really, second, before you do that, I just want to clear two things up. Rand Paul is an ophthalmologist, not a podiatrist.
Ah, eyes.
He went to Duke University. I heard he was a very good pupil there. I'll just move on.
Yeah.
And Legionnaire's disease. They're not really positive how it's transmitted.
But it is a bacteria.
And
that means like from dirt and stuff.
You'd have to inhale it. You'd have to inhale it from like small particles of contaminated water, that kind of thing, contaminated soil. One person cannot give it to another person. That I know for sure.
Oh, I didn't know that. So in other words,
transmit it.
But what if I sneezed?
Well,
if I had it?
Potentially, but they're saying
you better call
that
optometrist.
I'm going to call Dr. Rand Paul. Maybe he knows the answer. He did so well at Duke.
All right. So that's right. The pupil. So it is droplets.
No, inhalation of small particles of contaminated water. So that's not droplets.
Oh, so it's from polluted water. Oh, so the cooling tower. I get it. Yeah. That's what that has to do with it.
But somebody who probably is smarter about this will know more information.
Well, Ruben Diaz Jr., the Bronx Borough President, I mean,
he's coming on with it.
He's ground zero. He's coming on shortly. So we'll hear from the horse's mouth. Okay, but what are you thinking? Now, remember, I'd like to talk about Dr. Ben Carson and his refreshing, honest appraisal of what it is that ails the African community, pointing out that the most likely cause of death for a young black man is another young black man, and violence, gun violence. He's a brilliant man, the neurosurgeon. He's not, you know, remember Herman Cain was a good businessman. What was his burgers? Which was his burger chain? I forget. But, you know, he didn't show the kind of depth, philosophical, ideological, intellectual depth. Now, I'm not putting Herman Cain down at all. It's just that I think that Dr. Ben Carson cannot just brush over the fact that he was a brilliant neurosurgeon that separated Siamese twins and all these other things. I mean, when they say it's not rocket scientist or it's not brain surgery, in his case, it was brain surgery. So I admire him. And he really, it's been like, I've been stupid. I just haven't noticed him, or I've discounted him until I saw the tail end of that debate.
And, you know, there's something to be said that if there's somebody you trust to operate on you, would that be the same person you would trust to run the country? Maybe.
Okay, we'll start with Daniel in Long Island. What are you thinking about, Daniel?
Okay, you're talking about the criminals and the police officers. Only difference, if the guy gets caught and the police officer gets caught, the cop goes home on a nightly. At least the other guy gets prosecuted. Cops say, "Oh, I didn't do it like that. Like he shot like that guy in Staten Island." Everybody saw him choke him out live on TV, and he walks home.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm not going to disagree with you. I don't think
people are mad about that. Cops do murder people and go home.
I hear you. I hear you. More importantly, I think that the body cams and the dash cam are revealing what many of us who have been around the criminal justice system know, that sometimes cops lie to describe a confrontation and the way it went down. But I submit to you again, the vast majority of cops are honest, hardworking, law-abiding, heroic in many ways, underpaid, disrespected, targeted. The big problem is black-on-black violence in the inner city. I'd like to bring on one of my favorite elected officials. Do you know that he was elected to the New York State Assembly at the age of 23? The youngest person elected to that legislative body since Teddy Roosevelt.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Yeah. He's an impressive guy. I like him a lot. He represents the Bronx. The Bronx now suffering from Legionnaire's disease. This outbreak, very scary to me. My son Cruz and Lauren live in Eastchester. I've got two grandchildren in the Bronx. Mr. Borough President, welcome Ruben Diaz Jr. to the program. Should I be fearful?
First of all, thank you for the kind words, and I'm always grateful to be back on your show. I just wish it was under better circumstances. To answer your question, today I think that we're still concerned, but no one should be fearful. It seems like with all boots on the ground and all hands on deck now with every level of government here, I'm cautiously optimistic that the worst is behind us.
The worst is behind us. You have 119 cases of Legionnaire's disease in the Bronx. You have 12 people dead. No new cases, as Noam reported earlier, since the 3rd of August. But how in the world did this get started, Mr. President?
That it remains to be seen. There's still a lot of studies going on. In fact, I just got off the phone about 15 minutes ago with the state health commissioner, Dr. Zucker. He's assured me that while we continue to contain this outbreak and there's a lot of testing going on, that ultimately part of the study is going to be why did it hit us so hard in such a small area of the Bronx and why so many people died because of this Legionella outbreak. This is the question that's on everybody's mind. And look, we hope that moving forward, there's a system in place now, both at the city and with state legislation, with the city level and with state legislation, that will make sure that we can prevent this from happening, whether it's in the Bronx or any other part of the city or state.
Bronx Fire President Ruben Diaz Jr. Is my guest, and we're talking about this outbreak of Legionnaire's disease and this cluster of cases up in the Bronx. Now, was it from stagnant water? What is the source of it? I mean, I don't get it. I don't know how all of a sudden. I mean, does it self-start? Did someone put something in somebody in the water? How did that happen?
Well, yeah. Well, that's the one thing that we have been doing is educating the public since this broke out. Okay, so we have you cannot confuse water towers, which are the big towers that you see all around the city
right,
of New York.
On top of all the buildings, yeah.
Yes, and that's the water that's held there so that you can take a shower, the drinking water. The Legionella bacteria does not incubate there. Where we find out, and according to all the health experts and the CDC experts, is that it's in the cooling towers. The cooling towers are these big, like sort of fans and systems on top of roofs. Not every building has one. And what happens is that there's water that sits still there. And then you have a giant fan. And what the cooling towers do, and I'm not an engineer here, it gets the hot air from outside. And with the cooling, with the fan, it cools the air down with the water. What happens is once the air and the fan and the water mix, there's a mist that shoots out into the air, not inside the building, not in the drinking water, not in the water that, you know, not in the air conditioning system inside of a building. It shoots out into the air. And so inside of the droplets in the mist, we all, believe it or not, we all breathe in Legionella bacteria. But those individuals who are senior citizens, those with a weakened immune system, those who have some type of pulmonary condition like asthma or bronchitis, smokers, those are the people who are more susceptible to have this Legionella bacteria incubate inside of them, and they'll get a rare case of pneumonia. So Legionnaire's disease is another case of pneumonia. And what we want to do is educate the public so that they, whenever they have some symptom, flu-like symptoms, fatigue, whether their body parts ache, their muscles ache, to please don't wait, because this can take, you know, inhale this Legionella bacteria, but you may not get sick from 2 to 10 days after you inhale it. So if you start to feel sick 3 days later or 4 days later, you may not know why you're sick, but we want people to rush to the emergency room. We want you to go to your doctor.
All right, but you don't calm my nerves here, because there's a lot of these cooling towers. You look down on a lot of buildings, you see the fans, you see the cooling apparatus. So what do? Do you put bleach in them? What do you do to fix it, to kill the stuff?
So this is the reason why, as soon as we started to learn about this back on July 29th, I asked the same question. Are these towers being cleaned? Do we know that they're being regularly inspected? And then the response from the city was no. There was no way for us to. These towers are not registered. They did not have VIN numbers. They were not regularly inspected, and therefore they were not tested. So that's the reason why I came out and I proposed legislation with Councilwoman Vanessa Gibson, so that now we can have a system in place. In other words, Geraldo, there was not a system in place, so that we can make sure that we can avoid this from happening.
So what's the status of this?
So now what happens is once I read that the city did not, while they were in contact with the CDC, they did not ask for help. That's when I called the governor. I thought that this was, because this was something that was so monumental and that the city has never seen before, I thought all boots should be on the ground. I called them I called the governor. The federal government is here. And so that's what they're doing now. They are testing every single tower in the impact zone and as well as the towers outside of the impact area.
Is it true that the bad relationship between Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo, and maybe with you and the mayor, impeded the movement to get this thing cleaned up?
I know that people want to sort of bait and me and try to get to the politics behind this. When it's all said and done, wouldn't it be malpractice on my behalf as the borough president when I see that 12 of my constituents have died and over 100 have fallen sick and has contracted this disease, if I didn't call every single person and every single level of government to try to come
but
in?
Did
and
you call the governor because you were dissatisfied with the mayor?
I called the governor as soon. So we had a town hall hearing back on August 3rd, Monday, August 3rd. Let me give you the chronological events here, you know, in order. On Monday, August 3rd, we had a town hall meeting in the Bronx Museum of Art. And at that point, it was announced that the deaths had doubled, more than doubled, from 3 to 7. But then on Tuesday, August 4th, I read in the papers that Dr. Bassett said that while she's been in contact with Tom Frieden from the CDC, she never really asked for them to come in and help. At that point, I'm like, maybe this is such a monumental task, and I don't understand why Dr. Bassett, the commissioner of the health department of the city of New York, is not asking for extra help. I said, you know what? Let me call the governor. The governor expeditiously said yes and sent Dr. Zucker and the State Department of Health. We saw the CDC here. It was after that that we started seeing that everyone was working together. There was an order, a mandatory order to clean up by the city. We saw the governor and his folks cleaning up outside of the impact area. We saw the CDC.
When you think about it, Ebola was what? You had one sick guy walking around and the whole city was paralyzed. Right. Here you have 12 dead people in the Bronx.
Right. And so therefore, whether or not people take exception to the fact that I call the governor or anyone else, quite frankly, Geraldo, I don't care how they feel. I care about my borough. I care about the people who were sick. And I care about the fact that there are 12 families in my borough that have lost loved ones.
Astounding. Astounding. I got to tell you, thank God you called the governor. I mean, I don't know what the mayor was doing, but I mean, for shame that we didn't deal with this as the crisis. I mean, because it wasn't, because it was the Bronx. Maybe if it was Manhattan and 12 people died, you would have had the international attention to this problem that it deserved. I mean, it's a pity.
Well, I mean, look, I think that what happened here is everybody was caught off guard. They'd never seen anything like this before. And you know, hopefully that this is a teachable moment so that the city knows now what to do and how quickly to do it if should something like this happen in the future.
I read you.
It's so sad, though. That
it's very sad. It's a tragedy that happened here. And I have to, all of us in our own ways have to see where, you know, some of this responsibility for the tardy response to this lie. But I got to tell you, congratulations on calling Albany. I'm glad the governor responded. Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr., you have to come back, you know, later in the week or next week. Got to talk about Puerto Rico and this financial a chaos that's going on down there.
Absolutely. I sent out a letter that was signed on by over 100 elected officials all over the nation calling on the federal government to come in and intervene. They need to put the politics aside.
They have to, and they have to allow that poor Commonwealth. First of all, it should be a state, and it should be allowed to go bankrupt. But President Ruben Diaz Jr., thank you very much.
Thank you, Geraldo.
All right, bro. You know, man.
Can you imagine if it was Manhattan?
Imagine if it was Manhattan. It just struck me. You know, I was away when this all happened.
Right.
So now I'm thinking, and I read it in the International New York Times. I read it that, 12 people were dead. I said, 12 people in the Bronx are dead? 149th Street, where I worked at Alexander's in the ladies' cottons department, where my Aunt Anna used to come shopping. I got two grandchildren in the Bronx, and they got 12 dead people in the Bronx. I mean, imagine if it was Manhattan. Jeez.
It would be a huge story if it was Manhattan.
77 WABC.
Welcome back. 6 minutes to 11 o'clock. I'm going to give you a heads up. In the second hour, we will deal with Donald Trump and Planned Parenthood. As you probably have heard, there is a sixth video, undercover video, taken in Planned Parenthood that is being released now, showing, at the very least, a very callous approach by Planned Parenthood staff to dealing with the fetal remains of aborted fetuses in that kind of toxic atmosphere. You have Donald Trump coming out and suggesting that Planned Parenthood does a lot of good things for women, and it definitely does. I totally agree with him on that. I think actually it took courage for Trump to suggest that, given the fact that he's competing for the conservative vote, and much of the conservative vote is pro-life, as you know. So we'll talk about that. I want to talk more about Ben Carson as the program progresses. And there's a lot of other action out there that is very, newsworthy. But I have to say, Noam, I am still stuck on, the 12 dead people in the Bronx. And if it was in Manhattan, the same 12 people, same demographic, everything else remaining the same, if you just changed the borough, there would have been an entirely different response. And I just want to know, has the mayor been called out on the fact that the Bronx Borough President felt it necessary to bypass City Hall and go straight to Albany and Governor Cuomo's office to get a public health response adequate to meet this crisis?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you watch what happened, it was while we were on break, but there were two overlapping press conferences earlier this week. Cuomo holding one at his office here in Midtown Manhattan. Mayor de Blasio holding one down at City Hall talking about Legionnaires.
The same time?
Same exact time. Now, Wait a second. It gets worse. They're both giving different pieces of information. One saying that there's three new cooling towers that have tested positive. The other saying two. Both giving different facts during the same press conferences. So it tells you how highly toxic this relation is between the two, that they would hold press conferences at the same time. And it sounds like the health departments aren't even conferring with one another. They're giving bad information.
I mean, how do you feel, ladies and gentlemen, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the state health department not talking to the city health department? They got 12 dead people in the Bronx. I mean, I try to give Bill de Blasio every benefit of the doubt. I think he has a wonderful family. I love what they represent. But I mean, my God, if you can't run a crisis like that, I mean, what the hell good are you? I mean, what are you mayor for? What are you mayor for? Are you mayor just of what, Brooklyn? This is unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable.
Taking that A train. Talking about Dr. Ben Carson, his trip up to Harlem yesterday. Speaking truth to the community and to others about what the real dangers are and the real threats, the real peril to young black men. You know, one of the things I heard when I was overseas is a lot of talk, almost consensus, it seemed to me, Noam, on the incarceration rates of black men. I'm getting off the Dr. Ben Carson point just a bit, but I like that it seemed to me that people on the right and left were in a kind of consensus that we have to change the way we approach the whole criminal justice system when it comes to nonviolent offenses, mostly having to do with drugs.
the lockup rate is just ridiculous. And both sides see that.
It's the shame of the world. I mean, there we are. We lock up more people than Kazakhstan. It's just it's very worrisome. But I like Dr. Ben Carson a lot. I asked you to call me and let me know what you think of the man. I feel very impressive now talking about how, with his strength, with his clarity, with his principles, with his wisdom, talking about how, and I'll give you the quote again, he said, we need to be talking about how we solve the problem in the black community of murder. Saying that yesterday in Harlem, how he would address this crisis. He said he would instill values into people again so they do, in fact, believe that their brother's life matters. And he added, those values are family and faith, and, quote, principles that got black people through slavery, segregation, and Jim Crowism. So said Dr. Ben Carson, a man who is surging in the presidential polls. It may be short-lived, but it all may be short-lived. We're so far out ahead. But I asked you to comment. Let me see. Lou, are you still there? Thank you for holding on. What's on your mind, buddy?
I think Dr. Carson is a very hard-hearted man. I think somebody might have done some damaging brain surgery on him because he has a brain but can't think or doesn't see.
Well, tell me more. Why? I get that you're insulting the man, but give me the substance of it.
The mass incarceration of blacks, felony disenfranchisement, unfair treatment in the judicial system, the spread of the gang culture that results, discrimination, the war on drugs, sentencing guidelines. We got to start listening to black people. We just got to listen to them. And let's say that half of what they're saying is true. We got a big, big problem. We got to deal with it.
I totally get and agree with most of what you said, Lou. But what you left out is there no personal responsibility when a kid in Ferguson has a gun, he's running and shooting at cops? Is that about disenfranchisement? What is that that causes that 17-year-old to try to murder policemen?
Of course there is. Of course. I mean, we're going to have to weed out the bad apples that just are no good and unsalvageable, and they're going to do time in jail, and that's part of the problem. We can't weed out who the real bad guys are.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. I'm curious about you.
You don't have to
name yourself or anything like that other than Lou. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a lawyer. And I
where do you work usually?
Queens, mostly.
And so what do you see?
Well, I do a lot of plaintiffs, medical malpractice work, but I've done a lot of criminal work in my career, too. And, a lot of, black guys that get in trouble, you see it. They're not able to get the good lawyers. The prosecutors are like machines. They're like sharks. They just move forward, convict, convict, convict. They don't care if some guy gets hung with a felony rap. They're not going to say, you know what, this kid's only 18. This doesn't seem right to me. Let's make him a deal. If they can get a felony, they'll get a felony. They'll love it. They put it on. It's their batting average. It's disgusting. You see these people. I have no hearts. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. There was a time I did a lot of criminal work. To me, if somebody's under 21, you're not going to hang somebody like that with a felony rap. You're going to, and you could usually always get an ACD. I've been up there on these drug cases, and you're waiting for these narcotics reports to come back from labs that never come. You show up at court, keep showing up in court. If your client doesn't show, they hit him with a bench warrant, and now he's got a whole separate prosecution. Oh, yeah, that drug prosecution was baloney. We never even got a report back from the lab. But you know what? We got you for a bench warrant for failure to appear.
I hear you, man. You sound like a smart guy and a compassionate guy. Don't be a stranger. Thanks, Lou. James, what's up in New Jersey? What's on your mind, buddy?
In every state in the union, you have to get arrested multiple times for simple possessory offenses before you ever see a day in jail. And then most of these so-called drug offenses are attached to other crimes, burglary, robbery, theft. We're not going to solve it by letting everyone out. We have an addiction industry that just profits.
So what's your answer, James? I don't disagree with you either. What's your answer?
I'll tell you what the answer is. We need more research in science. How do we solve it? Maybe more medicinal forms of treatment, because we have 50 years of proof that show that the 12-step type programs do not work. The vast majority of people keep using drugs.
Another small call. Don't you be a stranger. What about 12-step? I mean, I know that it's not a perfect solution to addiction. I mean, I've seen enough of it in my life with friends, et cetera. And yet it seems like the only thing that there is. What else is there to stop someone? I was yesterday coming to work, my first day. I bring out my bicycle. I don't want to piss off that person who complained. But I took my bicycle up, so you come up 7th Avenue, and we have a ramp to come up into 2 Penn Plaza. And I was coasting the bike up the sidewalk. And there is a lovely young girl, a white girl. She had, kind of stylishly dressed, but a little on the shabby side. You could see that she'd had a rough time. And her head was down, blonde, and her head was down. And as I rode right past her, this 2 feet away, I looked at her. She was wasted, totally wasted. And it was obviously some kind of downer, because she wasn't edgy. She was kind of drowsy. It looked like heroin to me. Tell you.
Well, it's definitely heroin. And I don't know if you remember this, last week or 2 weeks ago, we were walking out after the show, and there was those people nodding out in the planters right outside Penn Station, totally on heroin. Those people, a lot of times, eventually, if they're out there enough and causing a nuisance, they get locked up.
But I just wanted to, where was she last night? She was probably prostituting herself to get the money to buy the dope she needed.
Likely, yeah.
And I don't know where she was from. I mean, she looked sort of suburban. I don't know, Jersey, Long Island. I don't know, Queens. I don't know where. But, I just said, wow, man. It's, what do you do? I mean, if that person doesn't go to a 12-step program, where do you go? What do you do?
Well, you end up dead.
You end up dead.
More times than not, yeah.
Or, yeah. Here in Queens is Michael. What's up, Michael? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, hi, Geraldo. I was at the rally for Dr. Ben Carson.
Oh, well, how about that? So how was it? Was it well attended?
Queens County Conservative Party meeting in Metropolitan Avenue in Forest Hills, and I heard him speak, and he's an excellent human being. He's an exemplary doctor. He's a sensitive man. But when I tried to ask him a question about targeted individuals in America, Tom Long, who's the chairman of the Queens Conservative Party, he wouldn't give me the microphone because there are targeted individuals that are being persecuted.
What do you mean? Like what, Michael?
Well, I don't know if you ever heard of gang stalking. Some people are gang stalked with targeted individuals, and I believe the CIA is doing it because there was an individual named Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, who was nicknamed
I totally get now, Michael. I totally get why they wouldn't give you the mic, that conspiracy. I was with someone. We met another American couple. I was talking to them overseas. And the guy said, do you believe in conspiracies? And I said, I spent more time investigating the Warren Commission report on the assassination of the 35th president, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, than like any reporter ever. I spent so much time on it. And you know that I was the first to show the Zapruder film, the home movie of the assassination. And I came to the conclusion that the Warren Commission is probably right. And that, it was Lee Harvey Oswald. My point is this. There's a whole, and it could be generational, I'm not sure. But there's a whole group of Americans. Some are Tea Party, some are not. Some are liberal, some are libertarian. That doesn't believe any official story. 9/11 was an inside job and so forth. I know that governments lie from time to time. I know Edward Snowden has revealed a lot of that. But what he hasn't is that there's no rewrite of history, generally speaking. I mean, usually Archduke Ferdinand's assassination was by the guy that said, I don't know, you could believe in conspiracies?
No. And, but now there's this warehouse on the internet where you can just, you can find people who are like-minded. We didn't have that before.
And it feeds on itself.
It totally does. Yeah.
And they make up stuff and they get this little, the evidence. I mean, I when I go on the internet, if it's not from one of the legit recognized news sources, my rule is maybe interesting, but reject it absolutely. Unless it's confirmed by one of the old mainstream kind of media.
And outlets. You've covered this for so many years. Nobody can keep a secret. That's the problem. If there's five people who are in on a secret, one of them is going to tell you the secret.
Ruben in Brooklyn. What's up, Ruben?
Geraldo?
Yes, sir. You're on.
Listen, I have followed Dr. Ben Carson. I probably started following him about 20 years ago. But I'm not hearing him saying anything different to what a lot of black leaders have been saying a long time. But if you sit on ABC Radio or on Fox News, you wouldn't know what the black community is saying. this is the thing. You guys say a lot of things that the black community don't say, but they do. But you guys wouldn't know that.
But like what, Ruben? Give me one example of what is being unsaid.
Raldo, the same things that Ben Carson said yesterday about black, but about focusing on black and black crime and that kind of stuff. They all say that. They all say that all the time. I listen to all kinds of radio, including yours.
But is it not true, though, Ruben? Is it false?
It's not false, but what I'm saying to you is that you're trying to suggest that he alone says it and these other black leaders in other places don't say it. And that's not true.
All right.
But you guys wouldn't hear it.
I think I get your drift, but I tell you what, if you want more widespread, diverse opinions, then call up and give us your opinion. Everybody is welcome here. I'm trying to make a different kind of place out of this show. In the last, we're on 3 years, 4 years already. I'm trying to say everybody's welcome here. You have an idea that doesn't agree with my idea, that's okay. Come on and tell me. And the more fact-based it is, the better it is for you and for everybody else that's listening. One of the things I'm talking about on the O'Reilly Factor is immigration and the new report that we now have 42 million undocumented immigrants. I don't know if that's true. It comes from a very anti-immigration study, but I'll delve into it more deeply. As soon as I get up there, I'll check it out. But coming from Europe, and I'm getting to your calls momentarily, coming from Europe, I'm telling you, man, in Italy, the immigration crisis there, you know, with all of the immigrants coming across from Africa and now from Syria, also from South Asia, Afghanistan, and so forth, all coming into through Greece, poor Greece. I mean, as if they needed more problems. So they have all these people, all these very, very poor, desperate people coming from countries that used to have governments, countries like Syria, countries like Libya. Libya is the whole top of North Africa. And Libya, with Gaddafi, when he was in charge, he stopped all of the, undocumented migration. Now, without governments, they're just walking across from wherever they're coming from, Chad or wherever, mostly the Sunni Muslim black countries in the sub-Saharan region in Africa and Syria and Afghanistan. And they are absolutely obsessed with it. It is headlines. I mean, in Britain also, because Britain had a handful of cases, people trying to sneak through the channel, they call it, the English Channel tunnel. And that was a big story. But in Italy, where they're coming ashore in these boats, coming to I forget the name of the island, just south of Sicily. They're coming there, I get it. Coming there to Sicily and to other parts of Italy. And the Italians are clearly, obviously concerned. The Greeks are trying to deal with it with a government that is very dysfunctional and busted, broke. No, they don't have money for anything. But tomorrow, let's talk about immigration, and we'll bounce off whatever we talk about on the O'Reilly Factor tonight and advance the story. We haven't spoken about it at all today. But what we are talking about, and I haven't even gotten really in depth of the Planned Parenthood aspect of Donald Trump. And I want to do that in the last half hour of the program. But we have been talking about the man who, the man of the moment in my mind right now, Dr. Ben Carson. Why is he in my mind? Because he was in Harlem yesterday, and he's doing a lot of the Fox and other programs last night and today. And I really like some of the things he is saying. Donald Trump, though, dominating still in the various polls and in the news cycle. I saw that, Trump did Hannity's show on Tuesday night. Hannity won the demo overwhelmingly. That's a sit-down interview on tape. And still, Donald Trump's power with the ratings, I'm telling you, is just unbelievable.
And at 10 o'clock at night, by the way, late night show,
And doing that kind of demo with, 700,000 young people. Oh, you have here's Trump from last night. Let me play it. You got it?
When Jeb Bush the other day talked, as we said, when he talked about women's health issues, he was so bad. I mean, it's like, what is he doing? We have to help women. A lot of women are helped. So we have to look at the positives also for Planned Parenthood. You know, even a guy like you, you may be convinced it does some positive things. I would look at it very strongly. We have to help women. As far as the abortion stuff, absolutely.
But if they are doing abortions, then they can allocate their other resources to other things. The government, right. Why should the taxpayers pay for an organization that...
Maybe unless they stop with the abortions, we don't do the funding for the stuff that we want. There are many ways you can do that, John, because I'm totally against the abortion aspect of Planned Parenthood. But I've had many women, I've had many Republican conservative women come up and say Planned Parenthood serves a good function other than that one aspect.
You know, so that's brave. I mean, it's weird that something so obvious requires political courage these days for a Republican to say, yes, I'm pro-life, and yes, I am. I abhor what I see with the insensitivity, at the very least, maybe illegality in terms of selling these fetal remains by Planned Parenthood, these secret videos driving this whole controversy involving Planned Parenthood. But Trump is saying the absolute undeniable truth that what Planned Parenthood does for the vast majority of women it serves is not abortion related, but it's about birth control, for example. It's about other women's health issues. And what is interesting is Trump's support comes from white guys who don't make a lot of money. That's his main demo. And he has much less support among women, as the Republican Party generally has much less support among women than men. But what Trump is doing here is saying, listen, if the Republican Party is going to ignore the fact that women need Planned Parenthood or groups like it because they have this or that or whatever it is that they need answers to, they need access to medical attention and so forth. I mean, I don't know if he's doing it just for politics.
Oh, I think it's genuine.
I do, too. Remember, he only turned against abortion in the, you know, last 10 minutes. I mean, like so many people who run for office in the Republican side. Not suggesting it's insincere. I'm just suggesting it's a late-in-life evolution for Donald Trump. And him pointing out the good stuff about Planned Parenthood is an act of political courage. I mean, more should do it.
WABCradio.com.
Here's what I want to do. I want to simplify the tax code. I want to cut taxes, but I want to simplify the tax code. I want to make it great for the middle class. The middle class is being killed. I want to put H&R Block, it's an ambition of mine, to put H&R Block out of business. When a person has a simple tax return, they have a job, and they can't even figure out, when they look at this complicated form, they can't figure out what to pay. And you know what? I have guys that are friends of mine. They make a fortune. They're hedge fund guys. They move around paper. Look, at least I build things. I put people to work. These guys move around paper. And half the time, it's luck more than talent, okay? They pay peanuts, okay? I want to make it so the middle class... I want to lower taxes, but I want to make it so the middle class benefits.
You know, that's Trump, and he makes total sense. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, do you feel like you're on taxes?
No, I have somebody do it.
You have someone do it, because you can't... I don't know, and this and deduction, and right. This interest
There's
on
no
that,
way.
And that interest... I mean, tax on this is 25%, and that's 50%, and that's... And he's right about that. And, you know, the problem is, it goes back to the thing, and that, of course, Donald Trump on taxes last night with my friend Sean Hannity. I say another thing about Sean Hannity. We had a big fight on The Five yesterday. And we were talking about how, one of the hosts is really opposed to Trump. How, Geraldo, do you like Trump? He's different than you on this issue. That is. I said, Sean Hannity and I don't agree on anything. And yet he's one of my best friends. How could that be? It's because it's the strength of people's character. It's how you feel about people. It's not how you feel on this issue. And you only hang out with people that you agree with. My goodness. I mean, that's like a pathetic way to approach life. It's just that's one of the things that I've learned at Fox, that people that disagree with you, like abortion. When I was in a young, long-haired lawyer in the 60s and 70s, people that were opposed to abortion were stupid. They were stupid, Neanderthal, you know, knuckle-dragging conservatives that, their lips move when they read the New Testament. And now you see that it's a sincere life belief, and they, you know, that they are just as smart and sensitive. You know, it's just, it's an amazing
And you know what? We demonize each other.
And
when we fault our politicians for not getting anything done, it's because we demonize them. Anytime they make a move, they're afraid to do anything. And so instead of saying, okay, I'm not going to win every battle, let's pick and choose the battles we're going to win. We don't do that. We make fun of the other side. And I'll suggest that the left is worse at this than the right. Now, the right does it. Both sides do it. But I think the left is much more wagging your finger, you're a stupid idiot, you're never going to get this done right.
That I'm smart, and and that's why the liberals don't buy liberal books.
Which I guess I'm sort of demonizing the left when I say that. But
I think you're right. I mean, in broad strokes, I think that liberals tend to be more high and mighty and more convinced that they are right than conservatives, who tend to have a kind of a chip on their shoulder in the sense that, oh, your mainstream media and all that, you never believe me, or you demean me, or you belittle me and all the rest of it. But going back to taxes and Trump, I think that, there is a lot to be said about the simplified tax. I don't know about flat tax and all that. What I don't want is for rich people to pay less taxes. I think that that is behind many of these plans to simplify the tax code. It's to give rich people an even bigger break than they already get. I think that if Trump is sincere about this, and I have no reason to think he's not, then it's a good thing. I want to simplify. You know, I'm all for deductions and all the rest of it, but, you know, you shouldn't be able to deduct when you're really donating something for a political cause. You know, that shouldn't be a deduction to the extent that it is. And I think that a lot of things hide behind nonprofit and all the rest of it that really aren't eleemosynary. They're not philanthropic, is what I'm trying to say. They're really something else. And hedge funds, what is with hedge funds and not paying real money for, you know, the money they make? It is shuffling paper. At least Trump is right. Trump is right. He at least builds things. Okay, now to you. Talking too much. In Middletown, here's Stacy. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so Trump on the tax thing, I was like, wow. I mean, I don't really understand that whole thing about, you know, closing down H&R Block. So
he just wants to simplify your taxes.
I love Trump. I mean, it, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. Like, vote for Trump. You know, it's very simple.
What do you like, Stacey? What do you like about Trump?
Oh, he's just he cuts through all this ridiculousness that, we've somehow built up over the years of just pounding each other, and he just slices right through that and gets to the point, and he doesn't care what other people say, think, or do. And, you know, it reminds me of, like, an ad I saw one time for, like, mutual funds, you know, where they had, like, this stable area of where everybody's money goes, and then there's, like, this parachute that just kind of soaring up and over and around things, and he's like that parachute, I feel like. He's just kind of...
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Because you sound like a smart lady, and I want to, you know, does it bother you that he's a flamboyant person who's been married, a couple of times, three times?
Not at all. His personal life has nothing to do with his business life. I mean, I really believe that, you know, he should keep...
What about what he said about Megan and all that after the debate and stuff like that?
Well, you know what? She was attacking him, and she was doing her job, but... She also had some, you know, he's talking about blood coming out of her, out of wherever. I mean, she had an underlying anger. I mean, you could kind of see it in her, you know, in her.
Okay, enough about it. What about his support for what Planned Parenthood does?
Well, I believe that Planned Parenthood is about women's health, and there are a lot of good things that come out of Planned Parenthood.
Okay, now, have you voted Republican before or Democrat before?
Republic.
And do you always vote for the Republican?
No.
Okay, all right. I like you. You're a smart lady, and I appreciate the call. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.
Gino's on the line from the Bronx. Now, Gino, I don't want to talk about crime. I want to talk about Legionnaire's disease. Don't you feel that the Bronx is getting short shrift, that if the Legionnaire's disease outbreak happened any place but in your borough, would have been a whole different thing?
Well, first of all, where it happened is where I used to work, and there are plenty of judges and shysters that are going to come down heavy on the 6'6" Herman Munster lookalike, and they're going to also go after my classmate from Fordham, Andy Boy. But those two petulant peckerheads had better work this thing out, because I'll come down on them, on both of them, and I'll destroy both of them if I have to. But that's beside the point. Let me get back to Ron Kuby impersonating the imbecile from Queens, you know, Lulu, who said that we should be defending the rights of that scowl who had a gun in his hand, firing indiscriminately at innocent people. There is no reason why we need to defend a slime ball like that. I understand he's a shyster. I understand that's his job. But there's no excuse
when
people
kill
others indiscriminately. There's no reason that we don't take this guy out and put two bullets in the back of his head so he knows how it feels to shoot people indiscriminately without any rhyme or without any
reason. Wait, Gino, who are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about?
I missed the point of what you're mad at. What
are
you mad at?
Here's the point. The point is, you and others that have called in today have made excuse after excuse for one particular segment of our society that never gets their act together. Because excuse is made for these people. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't understand. Are you talking about cops? Are you talking about black people? What are you talking about?
When you father five different kids with three different women, excuses cannot be made anymore. You have to take responsibility. You even said it yourself. You got to be held accountable for what you do in life. And you're not willing to do that. That's it for you.
Oh, all right. I don't know. As a person who fathered five different kids, I take a lot of responsibility. My life is nothing but responsibility. But I don't think he's talking about me.
No, he wasn't talking about you.
What was he mad at?
I don't know.
Anyway,
I wasn't following him today.
Yeah, Gino, take a chill pill. All right. Let me go, Maddie. Hi, Maddie.
Hi. How you doing, Geraldo?
Thank you
Welcome
for calling.
Back. I'm calling regarding Ben Carson, and I'm calling about his statement. It is true that the black community, the situation that we're in, is kind of desperate. And it's going to take a village, a concerned village, to raise our children. And to think that I'm a Christian, but I know it takes people to raise your children. The problem in the black community is that the school system is not good at all. We are put in a system to make us feel like we're less than human. And when you grow up feeling that you're inadequate, you are not going to have the ability to rise up against your situation. We need good school systems. We need something for the children after school. We need to be able to find jobs for our men, get them to the point where they feel good about themselves and feel like somebody.
Maddie, I'm out of time. Wonderful statements. I agree with everything you just said. You seem like a very lovely person. Don't be a stranger. Call me again. Did Curtis have something happen to him?
He did. He was shooting a commercial, and they were using a drone to get some of the shots with a camera on a drone.
He's here. He can tell you the story. Looks like your throat got slit. What happened to you?
I think it was John Gotti Jr. operating drone from Oyster Bay Cove.
But, you know, what happened exactly? Let me just say, as a preface, all these drone stories are driving me crazy. Everybody's buying them for no money now, and they're everywhere. What happened to you?
Well, you know, they use it for filming now, and it's very effective because you get an overview shot, and then you have your normal crew on the ground. So I was filming a commercial with El Pacha, who's big in Spanish talk radio, and the Naked Cowboy from Times Square. They both ducked because the tech operating the drone yelled duck, but I didn't hear it. But I saw the tuchus of the Naked Cowboy, and I turned my neck, and the drone came right at my neck.
God,
and almost sliced
that.
My jugular. Then the drone went back and came at me again. Bam! A right cross. Down went the drone. And you know the tech, who must have been a member of the AV squad, you know, those nerds in school. Yeah. He's crawling on his hands and knees and crying and saying, "You hurt my drone." Meantime, the blood is gushing out of my neck.
But, I mean, you could have... It's like by your jugular there.
Yeah, right by the jugular. But having been sliced before and stabbed, I knew.
But, you know, the same exact thing happened to my niece. She was on vacation. They're supposed to meet us in Cleveland at the Mishpucha house. And the same thing happened. The little kid got hit right in the forehead by a drone. The guy lost control. I mean, what are they going to do about these things? The Guardian is have to police the skies.
Well, you know what I did? I just put some nice old Curtis Lee with saliva on my hand and put it right on that wound, and it coagulated the blood. Because I have that Gentile, that thick blood. You, being the Jewish guy, you have that thin blood.
Well, I got the Puerto Rican thing. I got a nice mix. But Central Park, what the hell's happening? I live on Central Park.
Well, we're patrolling Central Park. There's been a 28% uptick in crime.
What about rape? I mean, rape in Central Park?
Yeah, yeah.
So
60. It's been two so far this year. And yet, Comrade Bill de Blasio, in denial. What are you talking about?
I got to talk about that. But I'm telling you, this Legionnaire's disease made me crazy. How he mishandled that was awful.
Didn't even call in the feds.
Didn't even
CDC.
Call in the feds. I mean, how could you not? All the Ebola stuff, you freak out. And here you got a real disease, real people dying.